This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Lakeside Roofing. They will sponsor this segment. They also sponsor Rick Hummel. They were established in 72, solid rep for excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around relentless commitment to customer service. Their reputation is one of reliability. They feature the finest quality roofing materials, and they provide expert installation. Call the professionals at Lakeside Roofing for your home or business. They've been around for a long time. In Illinois, call 618-344-2800, 618-344-2800. In Missouri, call 314-241-5253. 314-241-5253. You can find them online at lakesideroofing.com.
And Kamish had a great column about the Cardinals' second base shortstop combo, and only the Kamish can kind of go back and break it down with DeJong and Wong going back, Viña, Renteria. It was fascinating. If you start remembering some of these names, the combos we've had, Ozzie Smith, Tommy Herr, and he kind of ranks them, and he says, I can remember all the way back. He gets you about 60 years back. And then he says, okay, then there's some guys I didn't see, believe it or not, like Rogers Hornsby. But it's interesting how good this combo
so,
could be.
Like Javier and Maxville, they're but Maxville did not, you know, hit at all. I would think offense and defense together, well, Herr and Ozzie were pretty special.
I need to find out.
I'm trying to find the most depressing one. Because there are some pretty depressing ones.
Well, you traveled. Like, we took a positive here, and you went depressing.
Well, because like the best one is easy because there's Herr and Ozzie. There's the current one, which is really good. Here. Renteria and Viña. But after Renteria left, they had a weird just cycle through of
the Tony
second
Womack,
baseman and shortstops.
For a second.
Yes, like you know one
Rafael
game.
Call. I don't.
One shortstop. Game it was Adam Kennedy. More than one game. Adam Kennedy and Cesar is Turris.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a 200 hitter there.
So he went Tommy Herr, Ozzie Smith from 82 to 88 as his number one combo. Red Shandings and Marty Marion.
And Marty Marion was an MVP one year, and Red's in the Hall of Fame.
And then Fernando Viña, Edgar Renteria. It was just a 4-year run.
That's my favorite.
That was a good group, too. I mean, that was a 2000, 2001, 2002 playoff.
But you know
teams.
What? I think this one has the chance to be the best, you know, after Herr and Ozzie.
They're going to have a long run.
I mean, we're
think.
Getting 30 home runs out of the shortstop position, which is a possibility, and a gold glove out of second base with some good offense. Wow.
Maxville and Javier, he put fourth on the list. And then Frankie Frisch and Charlie Gilbert, we'll all recall, from 29 to 32. And I don't believe the commission covered them.
Here's Felipe Lopez and Cesar Torres at the end of the year in 2008.
Boy,
your double
they
play
could
combo.
Turn that DP.
Felipe Lopez.
Wow.
Not on the commission's
list. One of these games, Brendan Ryan started in right field. What a terrible
Who
year.
Who is Brendan Ryan with at second most of the time?
That would have been about 09, 2010.
09 at second base.
Did Eckstein make that group? Was he with anybody on the commission?
I don't think he had anybody notable with him.
Skip Schumacher and Julio Lugo at 09
oh
played
gosh.
Second.
Julio. That's a duo that you can't mess with.
Julio oh. Lugo was a Cardinal? I forgot that. I remember Spivey, they were excited because he'd had a minute or two in Milwaukee where he was good.
That Skip idea was pretty gutsy by La Russa.
And it kind of worked.
Yeah. Because Skip was a pretty productive offensive player, and they just wanted to get his bat in the lineup.
Provocative column by the commish. All right, Blues related. How about the fact we don't even mention Jordan Binnington because he only made 22 saves? He only gave up one goal, and it's kind of like, yeah, he was fine. Yeah, he did his job. But he gives up one goal. You do that, you're going to win almost every game.
But that's good that you don't talk about him.
It's
because
crazy,
he's
isn't
so
it?
Consistent that you kind of put him on the back burner, unless it's a shutout, you know, or have a couple dominant saves. But it's business as usual for Binnington, and I wouldn't say boring, but it kind of by the books.
Isn't it crazy?
Oh,
he gives up one goal, and we don't even mention him as a storyline. We mentioned like eight things about the game.
This is crazy!
It is. He gave up two on Friday, and they lose. Don't you think it's going to be a really tight, low-scoring? I don't see either team blowing the other one out.
He had a little. We had a little repartee on Friday night about 11:30 in the post-game locker room. And I said, don't you think in a way, maybe it was in the morning. Yeah, it was in the morning before the game. And I asked him, don't you think this is kind of coming down to basically you versus Ben?
And he goes, well, that's not the case, but you media people think it is. It was pretty good. Well played.
Mike Yeo has found the landing spot. He is going to be an assistant for the Flyers.
Good for him.
Just released.
I was going to say, there's a guy. We used to say this about Matheny, watching Schilt. Do you think he's watching the games? I've been wondering that lately. Oh, if you're Mike Yeo, are you watching? And do you like some of these guys and you're rooting for them? Or you don't really have a connection to Binnington. I'm sure you know him a little bit, but Berube was on your staff.
Hindsight 2020, because when Yeo got fired, I thought it was more the players, and I thought Yeo was kind of the scapegoat. But when you see Berube and you see the team play, it's not a coincidence that they are playing so much better under him. Now, like I said, I'm not a hockey savant, so I'm not for sure how much coaching goes into, you know, players play and their attitude, but they certainly seem to play more free and easy with Berube. And
he can't be rooting. Mike Yeo can't be rooting for the Blues to win the Stanley Cup.
Because they did fire him.
Gosh, no. Why would he?
Does he go on the Stanley Cup trophy? What's the rule on that for coaches who get dismissed?
Probably. He guided them to the worst record in the league. He should be.
I don't think you get on.
Look, if they go from worst to first mid-year or during mid-season, they couldn't have done it without him.
He was the lack of motivation that the Blues needed to fire him. Yeah,
does he get a playoff share? God, I guess he would. Or no, is that only players?
I'm going to
that
text
anyway.
Army and the day before game
busy.
7 and ask him about that. Hey, real quick, Frank and I wanted, does Yeo get a playoff share? I know you're kind of busy. So you think he's rooting against them, which I would agree. I mean, not passionately, but probably would rather they not continue to win. Do you think he's watching? I think all hockey guys watch every playoff game. Like, there's no chance. Yeah. Like, tonight you and I could have the greatest sportscast and do a Blues special, but Ryan O'Reilly and Jaden Schwartz and Doug Armstrong will all be watching the playoffs. Those guys watch every game.
Shot at Maurice Truman.
Or Maurice, I'm sorry. Just saying, these guys will be watching.
Yeah, you're right. Now, do you think Matheny, who really is a gracious guy, do you think he's rooting for the Cardinals to do well?
I think at this point he's somewhat over it.
I bet he's rooting for individual players
like
Matt Carpenter
and a couple
well.
Guys.
Yeah.
I think he's probably disinterested at this point. Like, if they win, they lose, he's not worried about
it. But if they win a world championship in the town he's living in, that would be tough.
Yeah, I think last year, and he's probably a nicer person than I am, but he was hoping they didn't have a great run. Didn't get into the postseason.
I mean, if Kim divorces you and you really love Kim, you don't want her to end up with George Clooney, correct?
Well, she already has George Clooney. You know,
a version.
The second.
Because a lot of people have said, you're no George Clooney. You mentioned that earlier, what it's like to be Seth Curry or to be the brother of the famous person. On the radio, I interviewed Doug Pitt, who works for Don Sorensen.
Yeah, I interviewed him a few times on TV.
Yeah, he's Brad Pitt's brother. But when we did this interview a few years ago, he does some great charitable work. A lot of it is hunger initiatives. And they said he doesn't really like talking about Brad. Ooh. And I said, and he didn't say that, but it was kind of prefaced that way. I'm like, you got to ask what it's like to be Brad Pitt's brother.
Are they buddies?
I have no idea.
Is this going to be an Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Rodgers
no,
thing?
No, I don't think, and I'm
Which
not saying
I
that at all.
That.
I just think it gets old.
You mean you did a really completely gutless interview and didn't ask him
no,
about
No, I
Brad?
Did ask about it. They said not to, but I did anyway.
At the end? So if they hung up on you, it's okay?
I did it, and I said, what were you guys growing up? I mean, were the girls all over him? Did he say he wanted to make it to Hollywood? And he's like, yeah, Brad's had a great career. It was just kind of been there, done that. And I think that's more I'm sure they get along great. I think he was just kind of sick of the topic. Like, if you're related to George Clooney, I get it. He's cool. Okay, I get it.
I think the Cooper Manning thing, I know it's not in the same realm as Curry, but he was, if you watch the documentaries about that family, he was considered the most athletic of the three. And then,
because he could catch balls and run.
Yes,
the
injury that happened in college obviously ended his career. But then you go watch your two little brothers win Super Bowls, Hall of Famers. That would be tough, but I'm sure he's thrilled.
All right, how about this? Net worth, according to this, Peyton Manning or Brad Pitt, who's worth more?
I'll say Brad Pitt.
I would say Brad Pitt in the 370 range, I would think.
Boy, and these things are probably wildly inaccurate, but it's fun to talk
about. No, it's
about.
On Google. It's
no, they're 100%. Exactly to the key.
You can Google anyone's net worth.
They have no idea. Like Brad Pitt right
under
now.
Under the table money that's in a foreign bank account.
He might buy an apartment complex. We have no idea. But I would say Peyton, because of endorsement, Peyton's probably like $200 million and Brad Pitt's $400 million.
Brad Pitt is $300 million and Peyton is $400 million.
Are you kidding? That actually blows me away.
Wow.
Is it the Papa John's investment or is it just career earnings on the field? That's
all the all the endorsement money.
Hey, by the way, ESPN hasn't named him the Monday night broadcaster.
No, they named the team. It's Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland in the booth.
Are you kidding?
That came out towards the end of last week.
That was kind of like a Friday news dump. Crap. We didn't get the guy we wanted. So
Saturday at 7 a.m. No. We're very proud of our team.
Could this decision be based on this, that if you were to have to bring in Peyton, it'd be an incredible amount of money, and the revenue coming in for Monday Night Football, because the ratings have been so abysmal, it's not there.
Can't justify it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you want to get ratings, you got to get Peyton. Nobody's going to watch. Oh my gosh!
Seems like
so
he
bad.
Doesn't want to
do it.
Do a weekly gig. He just kind of enjoys being.
He's just
Peyton,
above it.
I guess, and just can kind of still call his own shot. But God bless Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland. I don't think anybody will tune in because of that. And that booth, you know, as kids, the booth was as big a deal as the game. Because of Howard Cosell and then Dandy Don. And there's always been an
Theodore star appeal in there.
I thought Kurt Warner was an easy play for them because he's a former quarterback. He had a name not just that we know about, but because he's been on NFL Network, he is in the Hall of Fame. I think that'd be the perfect spot for him.
Yeah, and he already could do it, and he'd want to do it because he's doing the radio side now.
And I thought Booger McFarland was afraid to go up to the booth. That's why they created that little Booger-mobile or whatever it was.
To block fans' views of the field.
And that's the only reason.
He had, like, issues with going upstairs, right?
That's the only reason I watched. I love the controversy with the Booger-mobile. Now, if I was a paying customer and, you know, had a ticket to where there was that moving back and forth in my view, I would certainly have a different take. But those are very comical. The Twitter, the memes of him riding in that machine. It's good. I'm going to miss that.
By the way, Andy Banker contributing to our combos, Keystone combos. What about Khalil Green and Schumacher?
Ooh,
that's
Khalil
about
Green.
2009.
That was just brutal.
That's a
guy.
Thing all encompassing.
But
that
I love the guy.
Just been so bad for the Cardinals because you traded Luke Gregerson before he got good for Khalil Green. Then Khalil did not work out for a variety of reasons. Then you bring Luke Gregerson back right when he gets bad.
Yeah.
That's a full circle of just not good roster management.
He came into the game, and I'm like, he's back. That's right. I forgot Gregerson was here.
Okay, Biff is still
on hold. Biff, I'm sorry.
He went to the Kentucky Derby. Biff, we're sorry to keep you on hold. Tell us about your weekend in beautiful Louisville.
Oh, Frank, it was great. I had to pick the winner, the one that went off at 65-1.
Wait,
you
did?
Picked the winner?
I'm going to need to see that ticket.
Well, I already cashed it. It paid. I put $100 on it, so it paid $6,620.
You won $6,600 on Saturday.
On a $100 bet, yeah. Yep.
Did you bet on multiple horses or just that one?
That was my bet for the Derby, and I didn't know about it until. You know, they didn't make that call for like 45 minutes, and I'd already left the track and was back at my hotel, and people were talking about, we were watching it on TV, and I was like, holy crap, that he was the one of the long shots. And I bet him, and then I found out I won. It was crazy.
Boy, it's a good thing you didn't throw away your ticket like so many people do after they think they lose.
I save all mine. I got thousands of them on my dresser. I've been going down there for almost 20 years.
So you took a young lady and bought her a dress, and you two drove down, or did you fly down? What'd you do?
Well, none of my lady friends could make it this year, so Derry Ross, none of them could get off of work. I have several different lady friends, and so I went met my uncle down there. He's been going for like 40 years, so I just went and hung out with him.
Very nice.
It was kind of a nasty day, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't too bad. It rained off and on, but we just general admission. So we were under roof the whole time, and we'd just go out and peek out and watch the race in the standing room only spot. Because we didn't get a seat because we thought it was going to rain all day. So if you buy, you know, we used to spend like $1,000 a ticket or $2,000 a ticket and get a really good seat from StubHub, and we're like, it's going to rain. We're not even going to be sitting in the seat. So we did $80 general admission, and then I won the $6,600 after I'd already left the track. It was crazy.
So did you go back the next day? Did you go back? I mean, it's a madhouse on Saturday. How did you cash it?
Yeah. I asked around, and they're like, yeah, they'll be open Sunday. So, yeah, I went back on Sunday, and there was a big old line of people waiting in line to win, get to cash in, yeah.
Well, how about the whole just horrible weather day, all these women in these expensive dresses and hats just getting drenched? What was that like?
You know, it wasn't that bad this year because last year was just a deluge. Last year was just unbelievable. This year, it just kind of rained off and on, you know. And there's enough cover in that place to where literally everyone can get under cover. The place is so huge. So, no, there was a lot of nice dresses to look at, Frank. I'll tell you that.
More importantly, whether it's San Jose or Denver, will Goldfinger be firing up the jet? Because Frank and I may have some interest.
How many does this jet seat, first of all?
It's about 10.
We are
going to go to, if the Blues advance, we are going for sure, yes, to either San Jose or Denver, correct?
Is there room for Steve?
Yes. Well, so we have Martin, photographer, Frank, photographer, you, Goldfinger. This is going to be great.
Sounds like Strick's getting the bumps here. Yeah.
Strick's probably out. These are working media only.
Yes.
Wow.
Actually, Doug Vaughn was supposed to go, and he had a doctor, plastic surgeon appointment, and he couldn't go. So then that's why Strickland got his seat on the last one.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Like to dig a little deeper into that last statement.
What do we know here?
We are not out of time just yet.
Is this a HIPAA violation going on right now?
Yeah, Doug Vaughn went on a couple trips with us on the jet to hockey excursions. It's a lot of fun, but yeah, we're looking forward to going. Who do you think's going to win, Colorado or San Jose?
San Jose.
Yeah, we took his jet out there 3 years ago when they played out there in that third round. That was a blast.
Is Goldfinger a big fan of Martin and Frank and 590 the Fan? Because we're big fans of his.
I'm getting him to listen to your show. Yeah, every time I'm around him, I play him podcasts and stuff.
What does he do for a living?
I don't ask questions like that, Frank.
Well, if we're going to fly to San Jose, I'd like to know a little bit about the guy.
I'm good. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable not knowing anything, Biff. Just so you tell Goldfinger, I'm good.
Hey, no, he's in the pharmacy. He's got a lot of pharmacies. I've built pharmacies for him all over the country.
This
commercial pharmacy.
Kind of interesting with when we go to our news director. Hey, I know you don't want to pay for that trip to San Jose, but I got a guy named Goldfinger. It's going to fly us out.
Frank, we're going through your expense report, and it says dinner, and it said who attended, me and Goldfinger.
Hey, Doug Vaughn, when he went with us to Vegas when they played the Blues, he did some reporting and then sent it back to Channel 4.
Yeah, with his iPhone.
Yeah, he did.
It's a Channel 4.
The official camera at Channel 4, the iPhone.
He hates sports there.
He taped it on the plane and then sent it, and then emailed it back to him and stuff. Hey, Frank, I might, since I won the big 6,600, I might spend a portion of that and help you get some new music for your show. What do you think?
Oh, we'd love that.
Some new records. Nothing against what you play, but, I mean, you're kind of – those 8-tracks got to be about wore out by now, don't they?
He's doing a little comedy here. Good work there, Biff.
These are cassettes.
All right, I'll see you on the airplane probably Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and I got to meet the Miss Kentucky contestants, a bunch of them. I got a bunch of photos with those gals. It was a hoot.
Good stuff, Biff. We got to roll. We're late for a break. Thank you, sir.
See you, buddy. Bye.
All right, Biff joining us. Brian Schnooks.
Schnooks.
Yeah, go to Schnooks for all your groceries. Let me look it up. We're off.
We're going to be there this week.
Yes, St. Charles Rock Road, 9070 St. Charles Rock Road on Friday. I believe this used to be a part of the Tuna Schnooks remote tour, so we're going to one of his places. But yeah, Schnooks, get all your stuff for Mother's Day. Get all the brunch stuff for your mom.
And Hollywood Casino is our title sponsor. Chuck Tuna wants to go to a big concert out there. I think it's, let's see, not Hootie. What does he want to say? Oh, Dave Matthews?
You going to Dave Matthews?
Yes, he
coming
is.
Up next week,
to go
I believe.
To Dave
hold
Matthews.
On, hold on. Charlie Tuna wants to go to DMB.
Chuck Marlowe.
And he wants
a nice room. So we're going to try to take care of him there.
We're going to lose a sponsor because Charlie Marlowe's going to be asking for too much.
Or maybe tear up a room like these wild guys do.
Yeah. You know,
Chuck, after a hard night. But the bottom line is they have the best concerts. They have the best food. It's a great people-watching place. Final Cut Steakhouse is my favorite place to be. Have a great steak. We'll take a break. The Covered Hour coming up next.